Good morning. God is good. And all the time. Welcome to St. John's United Church of Christ as we gather together on this beautiful, beautiful spring day. Any of you going to the fireworks tonight? How many of us are going to watch it on TV? There you go. So, as you notice, I'm not moving well. Last Sunday, if you were here, when I made the move to come over here to do scripture, sermon, pastoral prayer, I did a little hitch, made some comment about my knees. I popped the muscle on my new knee. So, and my right knee is getting worse. So the PT and the doctor says, you don't get to walk as much as you did, which is why I just plant myself up here. So for those of you I normally greet, I'm sorry I couldn't do that today. You know, if you want to see me, I'll be up here after church. I'm not going to make that walk to the back. That's just too much strain on the knee right now. So, but I appreciate your care and your concern. We need to thank Michael and Dobin and Sang and Kendra of providing music today for our service, as we have communion as well. And so we're glad that they're able to be here and do this. We got lots of announcements today, most of which I don't have to do. So who's going first? Kyle's going to go first.
Okay, perfect. Good morning, everyone. A few things. We got a couple new events coming up and a few other kind of general announcements to make. So the first one, we are going to be starting a new mission moment for September. It's going to be a shoes and socks drive, so kind of keeping with the S for the month. So shoes, socks, in September. This drive is going to be benefiting Washington UCC to help out with their clothing closet they have over there to benefit their families that they help over in that community. We are asking for donations of new socks and shoes to be donated. Laura has generously put bins at each entrance to the church. We'll be running this drive all throughout the month of September. So each Sunday you come in, if you have any new socks or shoes you would like to donate, just place them into the bins, and then we will get them off to Washington UCC for you. So we hope that you would join us in this cause, and we appreciate the generosity that you guys do with this. The next announcement I have, looking further along, our annual congregation meeting will be happening at the end of October. After worship, that'll be Sunday, October 29th. So with that, we now open this time for any nominations for the leadership team. If you or anyone you know is interested in running for a position for the leadership team, please let Laura Haas know. She will be heading up that to get those together. And then we will have packets for the meeting available about the beginning to middle of October for you to look over to prep for that meeting. Any questions about any of the positions or anything, you're more than welcome to contact any of us on the leadership team. Myself as president, Dave Sam as vice president, Pat Goings as secretary, Vicki Kennedy as treasurer, and then, because vice president is a deferred position, so that is for that. Our other announcement, we are going to be trying something new coming up in October. We are going to host a trunk or treat. For those who don't know, a trunk or treat is an event where we gather our cars, we park them in the parking lot, and you either sit inside your trunk or put chairs outside of it. We'll have kids from the community come, and we can pass out candy to them. We'll also have little fun games and activities for them to do for this event. And then we're also going to get the congregation involved, so we'll have different contests with prizes for you guys of like best theme car, best decorated, best costumes, so on and so forth. That event will take place on Saturday, October 19th from 3 to 6 p.m. over in our parking lot here on the side. I do kind of need a head count just to make sure we have enough parking spaces for everybody, so if you would like to participate, please let a member of leadership know or the church office, just so we can kind of reserve the spot for you. But we're really hoping for a big turnout, so we really need everybody's support for this. So we hope you can join us that Saturday. And then finally, it's time for my monthly Vanna White moment, so I'm going to come over here to reveal my letter. For our buildings and grounds, we are having continued momentum for this, which is excellent, and I appreciate everybody's support for this. So last month, for the start of August, we were at $9,325, and at our start this month, we're at $10,555. So a little bit over $1,000 this month. Thank you to everybody who has donated to that cause. As usual, at the start of each month, we do have envelopes in here. So if you would like to donate to this cause, please, we would appreciate it. You will see some scaffolding outside the windows. We actually are starting on this window to the right as you guys are looking at it. We did have to start the window project just to get it in time for winter in order to keep the integrity of the windows and keep them as beautiful as they are. And for the great price that we got it for, we did have to start the work. And it's a good thing we did, because I was informed this week as they started the work that some of the metal tracks were actually building up water within them, so which could cause damage to the windows, so they are fixing all that for us. We also have a couple other projects that we are working on for the buildings and grounds. We have some emergency light fixtures that need fixed, and then we are replacing lights upstairs in the classrooms from when one of them did fall out during the summer. So we are getting those replaced to keep the kids safe in the preschool. So still need your guys' support on this project. We are making great headway with your guys' support, so please continue to donate so we can hit our goal of $25,000. And as I said at the beginning, there will be some celebration for you guys. We are working on something for you to make it fun, so thank you.
Are you sure you're done?
Yes.
Okay.
I know it's
obviously,
it's the beginning of the month.
You were just going to town. I hate to give you the microphone. You never know what's going to happen. There are two other announcements in there, but they're looking ahead. Not this week, but next week is Lunch Bunch, so please take note of that. And then there's some information on the next page about The Chosen and all the dates that are listed there. I was at the first one, and it went well. We got to view the video and then have some discussion. It sort of goes where it goes. But it's intriguing to see how we juxtapose how we live as followers of Jesus, and as the folks in first century, as they're depicted in the video, live their life, and how different it is sometimes in the things that we take for granted that they didn't have. So it's a nice time together if you're able to be with us. Let us open our minds and hearts in an attitude that allows God's Spirit to move among us as we prepare to worship God this morning.
Good morning. Please stand for those who are able and join with me in our call to worship, which is adapted from Psalm 15. Lord, who may dwell in your places of refuge? Those who are blameless, who do what is right. Lord, what sort of people do you favor? Those who speak the truth from their heart. Lord, we want to be like you and follow in your ways. Neither speaking nor doing ill, but being people who think about our words and deeds, and most of all, being people who worship you. Let us together, as one, worship our God. Please join with me in the prayer of adoration and confession. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for giving us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hands to do. Eyes to see the beauty of your creation and the needs of those around us. Ears to hear the wind in the trees and the voices of those in need. Hands to do our chosen task and reach and care to others. Help us to listen for your still small voice and to act in love as you call us to do. We seek ever to follow the example of Jesus. How easy it is to give lip service to your ways, O God, and how difficult it is to follow them. We confess that we are quicker to speak than we are to listen. We are all too ready to express anger towards others when we ourselves offend your righteousness and justice. We point fingers to draw attention to others' failures in serving you, when fingers should be pointed at us in accusation. Forgive us, we pray. Hold the mirror of your truth before us, that seeing ourselves as we really are, we may turn again to you. We ask through the merits and under the grace of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Hear the good news. It is with our heart that we believe and are justified. It is with our mouth that we confess and are saved. And by our faith in Christ Jesus, we are purified, made righteous by the one who bore all our sins. Dearly beloved, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated. Our first scripture reading for today comes from the poetry of the Old Testament, Psalm 15. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Those who walk blamelessly and do what is right and speak the truth from their heart, who do not slander with their tongue and do no evil to their friends, nor heap shame upon their neighbors, in whose eyes the wicked are despised, but who honor those who fear the Lord, who stand by their oath even to their hurt, who do not lend money at interest, and do not take a bribe against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be moved. Our second scripture reading comes from the law of the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, and then 6 through 9. So now, Israel, give heed to the statutes and ordinances that I am teaching you to observe, so that you may live to enter and occupy the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. You must neither add anything to what I command you, nor take away anything from it, but keep the commandments of the Lord your God, with which I am charging you. You must observe them and perform them, for this will show your wisdom and discernment to the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, surely this great nation is a wise and discerning people. For what other great nation has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is whenever we call to him? And what other great nation has statutes and ordinances as just as this entire law that I am setting before you today? But take care and watch yourselves closely, so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen, nor to let them slip from your mind all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children.
My I pass wellly through Bethlehem, on memories ever sweet, the little hills of Galilee that knew those childish feet, the Mount of Olives hallowed scenes that Jesus knew before. I saw the mighty Jordan roll as in the days of yore. I knelt today where Jesus knelt, where all along he prayed, the garden of Gethsemane. My heart fed on a freight. I picked my heavy burden up, and with him by my side, I climbed the hill of Calvary. I climbed the hill of Calvary. I climbed the hill of Calvary, where on the cross he died. I walk today where Jesus walked, and felt him close to me.
You'll notice our gospel text today is coming from the Gospel of Mark. And so in the lectionary readings, what's happening is we've been reading from the Gospel of John, hearing about the bread of life and the bread of heaven and all those things that John was talking about Jesus. So as we continue, we're moving into the Gospel of Mark. The lectionary people who put the readings together, you'll notice they don't like to read consecutively. So we're hearing from chapter 7, verses 1 to 8, 14 and 15, 21 and 23. And we're talking about the tradition of the elders is what's going on here. So listen to these words from the Gospel of Mark. And now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups and pots and bronze kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and scribes ask him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain they do not worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandments of God and hold to human tradition.'" And then he called the crowd again, and he said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, debauchery, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. May God bless this reading, hearing, and understanding of the Holy Word. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In today's world, even before I fully retired in 15, and even more so since the pandemic, much attention is given to how we worship and what's important. Back in the early 2000s, Dr. Daniel Weiss, who at the time was a general secretary for the American Baptist Churches USA, said, "Worship is the most important thing a Christian does." And so many churches are working double time trying to figure out how to design services, worship services that will attract, you want to name it. Back in the day, it was the boomers. Then it was the busters, then it's the seekers, and it's the inquisitors, and it's whatever name you want to talk. How do we attract them? Any people that are outside this place of worship. So sometimes it's as if the unchurched are the focus of our worship as opposed to the worship of God. So the question is, what does God require of us if we are truly to worship God? I think praise and worship are important. It is part of it. We are all moved by saying solo today. We're always moved by the music that we sing, and if we like the hymns or know them, we sing them together loudly. Maybe not on pitch, but loudly. And we like to be part of that. But you need other pieces into the service order. So in this text today from the Gospel of Mark, we find Jesus, he's in this major conflict with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And for them, the religion was about rules, and it was about regulations, and it was about proper ritual, and it was about proper ceremony. And Jesus saw all that being made by human beings, having very little to do with God. And so in the text today, at the end of the passage, Jesus says, all these evil things come from within, and they defile a person, verse 23. If you go back and we look at today's English version, it says the same. Translate that last little phrase a little differently. It says, all these evil things come from inside you and make you unclean. So, you know, whether they defile or make you unclean, but how do we understand that word? How do we define that Greek word? But it is about what comes from within. So what does God require of us if we truly worship God? And so my title is What Makes Us Fit for Worship, and Bob over here said, because I'm not moving well, I said, it has nothing to do with my physical thing. It is about where we are as who we are as people. So as I read this text, there are three things that just jump out at me that I think we need to look at today. The first is that God requires that we come to worship with a sincere heart. Jesus here is quoting the prophet Isaiah in the text today. And he says that they're hypocrites, the Pharisees and the scribes. Religious actors are show-offs because they're just going through the motions. Their rules, their regulations, their rituals, their ceremonies had very little to do with being right with God. Jesus thinks it's all for show. And it was designed to impress others with how meticulous religion could be and how meticulous they were about maintaining what they thought was important. But the actions that they were doing didn't reflect who they were, that inner being about who they were, or the affections of their heart is a term I read somewhere, about how they are in their character. And so if we go to first century and you look at the ceremonial Jew of the time, he could very well hate his neighbor with all of his heart. He might be full of envy and jealousy, hidden bitterness, pride. But his attitudes of how he felt about another person didn't matter as long as he washed his hands correctly, observed the correct laws in the correct way, the ceremonial cleanliness, and uncleanliness to worry about how that works. The term we use in the church is ceremonial legalism, of things we think need to be done in a particular way, that takes into account how we look on the outside. You know, part of that is what we do here. We have ritual. We light the candles. We bow our heads to pray. We stand to sing when we are able. You know, there are parts of ritual that we do. But we can be meticulous in serving God in other ways, in a ritualistic way, and not fully understand why. And then we can blatantly disobey God with how we really feel inside, just because we're going through the motions. And if you think one thing and do another, in the church we call that hypocrisy, because that's two different things. So what does God require of us if we are to be fit for worship? What do we need to do? I think God requires a true, sincere heart that's focused on God, nothing else. God is the focus of our worship, not the trappings that we place around Him. In my 40 years of ministry, I've been in 8 churches. Well, more if I count when my dad was pastoring. Every church has its unique way of worship. There are some things that are the same. There are parts of it that are the same. But it depends on the congregation. It depends on the pastor. It depends on the traditions of the church and where it's been in its history. There's all kinds of things that feed into that, of what makes it important. What do you bring when you come to worship? You know, is there an anticipation that you're going to see God or feel God? You know. So all those things matter. The second thing that jumped out at me was the obedient heart, that God requires us to have an obedient heart. So he's accusing the scribes and the Pharisees here of being more interested in following human teaching than in following the commandments of God. So he goes on in the part of the text I didn't read, 9 to 13, I'm not going to read it, but what he's doing, he's accusing them of human teaching as a device to sort of get around God's law. He's accusing them of doing that. And in a later chapter, in chapter 12, Jesus gives an understanding of God's law. So a scribe keeps hammering at him about that. He gives this summary. For those of us who've grown up in the United Church of Christ or in a denomination where there was a catechism, either the Evangelical or the Heidelberg Catechism, there's a question. And they're quoting Matthew, Mark 12. Which commandment is the best? That's the first of all, and Jesus answers. The first is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God, you should know this, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And in the old verbiage, it says, And on these two commandments hinge, depend, or rely all the law and the prophet. The new version just says, There's no other commandment greater than these. But that's what Jesus thinks is important. Not the ritual, not the tradition, not that you do it right. So what he's doing, he's attacking a system that's, you know, been human made. It's got rules and regulations. And the simple commands are to love God and neighbor. And so he's particularly, I think, condemning a system that is ignoring other people, basically. Because there's a caste system. There is a hierarchy that Jesus says you have to look at everybody, not just certain individuals. And that you're putting all these rules and regulations that the religious community has put in place, or even the government, and you're ignoring everything else. So we need to understand there are rules we follow as a congregation, but there are also things we need to understand as people of God, of what is important to us, and that nothing should stop us from caring for one another, no matter how we feel about one another. We're all people of God. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We all belong here together, and it's a purpose to be. So God requires that we be obedient to this command of love for God and neighbor. And I think they're sort of interlocked because you can't do one without the other, really. You need them both. So an obedient heart is required for being fit to worship the living God. The third point that jumped out as I was reading the text was that God requires a pure heart. And that's a hard thing. In the Beatitudes, we all know the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, but there's one that says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." I've never seen God. Does that mean I don't have a pure heart? I don't think I've seen God. Not the way I think God should be. Maybe I've seen God in you. Maybe. I don't know. But the purpose of worship is to experience and see God. Whether we see it in our relationships with one another, or we see it when we hear the beautiful music that moves our hearts and souls, if it's just to be with family and friends, however that works for us. But you need a pure heart to understand you come in here open to what may happen in this space together. Sure, I plan to worship. I get a bulletin order together. Michael and Dobin and I talk about the service and what the theme might be and pick the hymns and the music and whatever. And together it becomes worship. But it depends on who's in this space. And it depends on how you respond. And it depends on how we feel about what we're having to have happen in this space. And so Jesus' view of purity, I think, is different than from those Jewish leaders of the time. You know, he doesn't want to worry about cleanliness and uncleanliness. He wants to forget all of that. They're focused on clean and unclean food. And Jesus is really saying, well, you don't need to worry about that. You can eat anything you want. And he says, anything goes in that you can eat can't defile you. Because, and he doesn't say that in Scripture, but I'm going to assume, it all goes through the natural way and gets relieved. But Jesus was saying, nothing that goes into a person makes them unclean. Without understanding, he's trying to wipe out this law. And it's why the disciples are amazed, because he's really head-on confronting the Jewish law of the day. For Jesus, purity and impurity is a matter of the heart. It is how you feel about your relationship with God. And to come to worship, and to come to table, in fact, today. To come to table, excuse me, one of the things about when you come to table, and because we do distribution as our way of receiving, there's that time when you can hold that element until it's time to eat and drink together. What do you think about in that moment, in that time, in your relationship with God? Do you look at your watch and say, oh, Marty's going to go overtime today? No. I've been at this for a long time, people. You know, that's... But, or are you in the moment of why we're here? And we're human beings. We all do that. You know, my knees hurt. If they hurt too long, it's time to get up. I mean, whether I'm ready or not. But we have to worry about this ceremonial uncleanliness that Jesus was confronting, and an obedient heart. So when we come, are we fit for worship? Are we coming with a true and sincere heart? Are we coming with an obedient heart? Are we coming with a way that we think God will be here today? I'm coming because I want to be here. And I want to be in relationship with God through the worship experience, through the attendance of other people. God calls us together to worship God. How do you worship? Are you fit for worship? Thanks be to God. Amen. Our hymn today is number 502, Be Thou My Vision. I'm going to ask those who are able to please stand, and we'll sing our hymn together. You may be seated. As we come to God in prayer this day, are there any joys or concerns to be brought forth to this community of faith? Some have already given me some at a time, and John has updated us on some of our homebound folks. As always, there are those things that we don't say aloud. And the bulletin has all those prayer lists that we talk about, and folks, things that are going on in the world and in our country and our families and our communities that we don't talk about out loud, but we all know are there. And so we continue to keep all of those situations and individuals in our hearts and our prayers. So as we prepare to settle down for prayer, you know, let us take time to do that. I'm going to ask you to take a breath and to let it out. And then to breathe in God, and to breathe out, and to breathe in God, and to breathe out. Almighty and Holy God, you are ever patient with us. And every Sunday we gather to worship you, and we come together in prayer. Sometimes we offer an endless list of thanksgivings and intercessions. And sometimes that list includes things that we want, how to be a better person, help or strength for a friend, maybe forgiveness for some wrong we have done, guidance for those in need, those who are in need of your presence, and the list goes on and on and on. But God, we need to understand that you always know. And we also need to be praying not just for others, but for ourselves. And we're slow at seeing our own faults, and even slower at seeing the goodness that sometimes you have put in others. And so we need to ask ourselves, why am I here? Why am I in worship? Why am I in this space? And why am I in the world? And how can I show the love that I have been privileged to receive from you to others? So God, we ask that as we gather together in this prayer, that as we are touched by your spirit or your presence or however you respond to us this day, that we are faithful, that we greet others with love and concern and with grace and with mercy, that we be present with them in their need, if that's what it is to do, that we were able to hear your words this day and not only hear them, but to understand them, be touched by your presence, either by my sermon or by the prayer or by the music or by just gathering together in this place and knowing that you are here with us. We thank you for the faith that has brought us together to be in this sanctuary in this moment and in this time, that we might be strengthened for the week to come. So create in us a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within us. Restore us into the joy of your salvation and give us the strength of a willing spirit that we might turn and serve you. It is in the name of Jesus that we offer this prayer with the prayer that Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
The God who bears us up on eagle's wings invites us to participate in the transformation of the world. The church at its best is devoted to nothing less than changing people's thoughts and actions to a more loving way. Contribute in liberality, give aid with zeal, serve with caring devotion. Our offerings symbolize our commitment. The ushers may now come forward.
Please join me in our prayer of dedication. O God, we know that all gracious giving and every good and perfect gift comes from you. We give thanks for all you have done for and given to us, especially for the gift of your Son, Jesus. Help us, we pray, to use these gifts, following the example you have placed before us of open-handed generosity and open-hearted welcoming, and to mirror the love so amply shown to those in need by your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
While we are still standing, let us affirm
our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the one holy universal Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Beloved in Christ, the gospel tells us on the first day of the week, Jesus Christ was made known to two of the disciples in the breaking of the bread. This is the joyful feast of the people of God. Men and women, youth and children gather from the east, the west, the north, and the south to gather about the table of the Lord. This table is for all who wish to receive the presence of Christ and to share in the community of God's people. I got thinking when I was going over my sermon that part of what we do at communion is ritual and tradition. I memorized that first paragraph, you know that. The Eucharistic prayer follows, and basically it's to thank God for the day, for the elements, for us. But there's also, there was a song that I learned a long time ago. I'm only going to do the chorus. Robert, I'm going to sing a little bit. I'm only going to sing the chorus, but I think it's apropos to what I was preaching today. It says, I come expecting Jesus to be here in this place. I come expecting to receive his mercy and his grace. I come to eat the bread and drink the wine, to be a holy moment in time. I come expecting Jesus to be here in this place. I come expecting Jesus to meet me in this place. I come expecting to receive his mercy and his grace. I come to eat the bread and drink the wine, to be a holy moment in time. I come expecting Jesus to be here in this place. And so as we gather, we are reminded of Jesus and the disciples in that upper room. And on that night, he took the bread. And after you've given thanks to God, you break it. He said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup. And after you've given thanks to God, he said, this cup is the new covenant of my blood shed for you and many for the remission of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Almighty God, we ask that you send the power of your Holy Spirit upon us and on these gifts. Then in the breaking of the bread, the drinking of the cup, we may know the presence of the living Christ, be renewed by his body, cleansed from sin by his blood, and serve you in unity, fidelity, and joy until you bring us with all your saints into the fullness of your eternal kingdom. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forevermore. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come, all things are now ready. Thank you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Take and eat. This cup is a new covenant given to us by Jesus Christ, that we might have forgiveness of sins, the gift of eternal life. My friends, take and drink. I would invite those who are able to please stand. Let us join together in our prayer of thanksgiving and stay standing for our closing hymn. Let us pray together. Eternal God, you have called your people from the east and the west and north and south to eat at the table of Jesus Christ. We thank you for Christ's presence and for the spiritual food of Christ's body and blood. By the power of your Holy Spirit, keep us faithful to your will. Go with us to the streets, to our homes, and to our places of labor and leisure, that whether we are gathered or scattered, we may be the servant church of the servant Christ, in whose name we rejoice to pray. Amen. thank you for your patience with my infirmities today. That's why I had to go for a while. You'll notice communion did not go quite according to while. I decided to sing in the middle. Mike had to help me with the trays. It was still a sacred moment. So it still happens. To remind those of you in the back, I'm going to be shaking hands up here. I'm not walking this aisle today. But today we were challenged. Why are we here? Why do we gather to worship? What do you expect to be here? What do you expect to happen when we are together as people of God? Continue to search for that. Come looking for God to be present in your lives. So until we meet again, let us go in the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let us go in peace. Amen.